Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Getting started in podcasting doesn't have to be overwhelming. It can feel like a lot when thinking through the right microphone to use, how to edit, and where to find guests. But since you've been so amazing to listen to my podcast, How to Ride a Roller Coaster, I want to give you something in return. It's called Everything You Need to Know to Start a Podcast in 24 Hours, and it's all yours. Go to realdavidezel.com to grab your free copy to help you get started on your podcasting journey. That's realdavidezel, E-Z-E-L-L.com. Thank you again for listening. It's truly appreciated.
Freedom over fame. Freedom over cycle stays the same.
Welcome in, everyone, to How to Ride a Roller Coaster. I'm your host, David Ezel. Here, we'll talk with business owners and founders on what it's like to ride the roller coaster known as entrepreneurship. How to navigate the highs, the lows, as well as tangible tips that you can use right now to kickstart your business or idea. Let's get to it. Welcome into another episode of How to Ride a Roller Coaster. I'm David Ezel, and tonight I'm joined by Nick Bonanno. Nick is the co-founder of Simple Media. Simple Media is a full-service agency, and they prepare their clients to level up and stay up. What's going on, my friend? How are you?
Good, brother. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, dude, you got it. So we talked a little bit right before the holidays. You just got back from Breckenridge, Colorado. How was it?
It's pretty amazing. It started dumping on us on Sunday afternoon. So right about the time where we decided to go grab a beer, my buddy Matt and I are like, all right, let's hit this one more time. And that one more time turned into 3 hours. We were absolutely wiped out by Sunday night, but it was an absolute blast.
Man, that's one of those things where when it's, you know, when you get that kind of powder in the elements like that, I mean, you're just exhausted. It just takes it out of you.
It really does, man. Our calves are super tight. We even had trouble like walking to the car. It was pretty funny. We kept telling each other we were going to give each other foot rubs at the back at the house. That didn't happen though.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, let's kind of dive back into it. I've known you for, 2018, I believe, 2019, something like that. So we go back a few years, and I've always loved what you guys do with Simple Media. You make a lot of the marketing and the things that feel complex to most every business owner and person that's trying to grow their business. You guys make it really easy. And I don't know if that's where you guys came up with the idea for, you know, the tag of Simple Media, but all of my dealings with you and talking with you, you just do such a great job of making it make sense, kind of kicking everything to that 30,000 foot view so that it's you're not just kind of in the minutia where people that maybe don't talk about it every single day, you know, just get lost or overwhelmed or feel like they can't keep going. So where did that all kind of get started?
So actually, the name Simple Media, when my wife and I were brainstorming, this is back in 2007, we got married in March and we started the company in April. It started because we had a vision of starting something that would become eventually a global brand. And when we thought about terms and words that people would identify with globally, we thought the two words simple and media, pretty much anybody could say those words. So it actually, the naming was something that we decided to create based on how people would be able to understand those two concepts around the world.
Gotcha. Whenever you guys started, did you focus in on a lot of the same service areas? I mean, was it more maybe web heavy versus SEO versus something else? Where did you guys start and what has it kind of pivoted into?
Yeah, so what's interesting is that we started as a micro consulting. Digital was, you know, barely a thing back in 2007. You know, e-commerce was, you know, still very custom. You didn't have a lot of CMSs. SEO was still, you know, very old school backlinking and different strategies that these days would definitely get you in trouble. But I would say that our services were more tactical. So companies came to us and we would help with different tactical needs. What we have become, you know, fast forward 15, 16, almost 16 years later, is a more of a consultancy. You know, you said at the beginning, you know, working with clients in different capacities. One of our fortes, I think, is that we work with clients and really trying to help them understand emerging technologies in the digital space and how they can contextualize those technologies for their company. You know, a lot of times a B2B brand that's extremely conservative perhaps doesn't need to focus their efforts on Snapchat or TikTok. Yeah. However, we've seen that work. But in taking the time to fully understand their brand and their business, we've been able to point out certain areas where they could capitalize on digital and some of these emerging technologies like augmented reality, Jamstack, and you know, different things that tend to be a bit you know, jargony in our industry. But finding that context really has been our sweet spot in this business.
What would you say are some of the maybe the main things that people come to you with, maybe some of the apprehensions? You know, I know we want to grow, but we're just not sure what that looks like, how we do it. And you kind of alluded to figuring out what makes the most sense for that company's brand, for who they are. Does Snapchat make sense? Does augmented reality make sense? How do you guys kind of help them keep off the walls a little bit and kind of focus back in on where they need to be?
Yeah, that's a great question. We always go back to branding, and I know you are a brand champion, and so you really understand how marketing, digital, communication, they don't live in a silo necessarily. Brand really touches all aspects of a company, even the way that they handle, for example, customer service. So a lot of these touch points are things that we analyze on the front end of the relationship and really help put together a narrative that also includes certain ways that they interact with their audience, you know, their type of audience. We really paint a picture that's comprehensive for the client so that when we bring up some of these technologies that they maybe have heard before, but they don't quite know how to even get involved or how to start, it starts making more sense to them. So taking things back down to the studs as it relates to branding has always been a thing that we've done as a company. It made the relationship a lot more intimate, if you will. Clients feel like we're part of their team. And at the end of the day, any tactical effort, any campaign level effort is sort of a bolt-on approach to this foundation that we build on the front end.
And I think that's a great way to look at it, because if you can build that relationship there, if you can take what feels fuzzy and overwhelming and help it make sense, and you can start to kind of track when it's going to happen. Here's what we'll do in week one, month one, year one, so on. It does feel like that would just kind of help the relationship, you know, grow more flowers, I guess, for lack of a better term, as you keep going. You mentioned something a little while ago, like when it comes to some of the old techniques that, you know, SEO and using backlinks and things like that, things that, you know, isn't really commonplace that much anymore. Where would you say are some of those places that maybe somebody that's a solopreneur has one or two employees and they're trying to kind of grow it too? They want to have some of those foundational things. They're running their business. It may be completely separate from marketing, but they want to have some of those foundational marketing pieces in place, laying that those studs. Where would you tell them to kind of start?
That's great. These days doing research on, you know, YouTube and looking at ways that you can optimize your website, I would always drop the date or the year 2023 so the users can make sure to see relevant content to today, you know, because a couple of years from now, things already will have evolved in SEO. And so making sure that, you know, for example, how to optimize my website in 2023 and looking at some of those, you know, small tactics, if you will. One thing that's been extremely useful for our clients, and even if they're very small with, you know, very tiny budgets, is getting Google Search Console installed on their website, because Google tells you what you need to fix. And so it's a much better conversation than just going with a freelancer that's just going to continue to do SEO on a retainer. Well, at least the owner of the business knows, okay, so these are the errors, these are the things that need to be addressed. And so it becomes a very, you know, black and white conversation. There's no gray area about that. Any other advice that I have for the solopreneur, somebody that's just getting started? I'm sure you've heard of OpenAI, ChatGPT. And I was actually listening to a podcast the other day, and a teacher in California is using ChatGPT in her class. And somebody asked her, you know, is that, you know, do you consider that cheating? And she's like, no, actually, I feel that it creates more opportunities to come up with really colorful content. And that's what we found as of the last couple months using ChatGPT for our clients, is coming up with such unique and colorful blogging ideas. Because if you think about it, writing blogs, posting a lot of articles on your website that, you know, focus on specific keywords, eventually drive really targeted traffic. But then what's the next piece of the equation is really keeping them on the website. And so if your content, for example, I'll just give you a silly one, you know, three ways to you know, drive targeted traffic to my website, that could be the blog article. But you could put that in the voice of Ryan Reynolds, for example. You know, it creates such a cool, colorful piece of content. And I feel like that is really what's going to make the difference in the future, and especially for clients that don't have a massive SEO budget, is creating some of these topics and some of this content to publish on their website, and perhaps having a you know, somebody that's a freelancer kind of help out with some of the more technical items to make sure that the content gets well indexed and the site rises and, you know, gets all the hits that it needs to.
Yeah. So kind of circling back, so Google Search Console, making sure that that's installed. Is that just analytics.google.com and everything is there? Is that...
So yeah, so analytics is one component of it, and it can be installed at the domain level, very simple text record, and so does Google Search Console. So once that is installed, so it's literally one record that's created at the domain level and it's verified. Somebody just logs into basically Google Search Console. You know, you type it into the Google search and click on, I think it's admin.googlesearch.com. And once you're logged in, you see all the properties, you see your sitemap, you see, you know, your performance, how many impressions you got, how many clicks you got, you know, how your keywords are performing month after month. What I love about that tool as well is you can do comparisons. So you can compare literally this week with last week, or the last 3 months with the previous 3 months, and see how your website is performing over time. It's an incredible tool.
Wow. And then so ChatGPT, yes. I mean, that's, of course, everywhere right now. It's funny, I even just saw Ryan Reynolds, you happened to mention, doing that in his voice. I saw an ad, I think it was for Mint Mobile on LinkedIn just the other day, where he was asking ChatGPT to do it in his voice. He was like, yeah, you know, this sounds exactly like how I would say it. I want to add one curse word. I want to put that our, you know, sale goes through the end of the year. Nobody can beat us. And it's just fascinating. I mean, I just think back to the days, high school, junior high, when I was in school, and just where things are now. It's just, like you said, I mean, it's how do you kind of get a hold of where we are now, but also thinking toward the future. And I love that you guys really kind of put a focus on that, you know, business-wise, helping companies do that, because I feel like they're most businesses, again, are kind of focused on what it is that they do with a service or product that they offer. Keeping up with trends, Google Search Console, all of these different things, they're gonna look up, and all of that stuff's gonna be outdated. The way that they did SEO, maybe their site is full of backlinks and now they're blackballed by Google. You know, there's just all these different things. So I love that you guys take that approach of relationship first, customer first, build on the studs, and add when needed.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think we're living in a crazy time. Machine learning is going to be a big part of Web 3.0, of, you know, anything that's, you know, metaverse, augmented reality, AI. And I feel like businesses these days can capitalize on all these technologies. They're not the do-all be-all. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. You still need somebody that's the guardian of the brand, that's there to protect you know, their website and their, you know, strategies, and make sure that they're navigating these technologies correctly. And I think that if people, you know, come to the conclusion that ChatGPT is going to solve all the problems, going to be, you know, the new copywriter, you know, it's a tool. It's something that you need to leverage to perhaps save money on copywriting, and you could allocate that budget elsewhere, you know, to further optimize your strategy.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You know, ChatGPT, SEO, all of those different things, there's not a silver bullet that's going to help your company be seen more, any of those. You know, Google Ads, those, everything, like you mentioned, is a tool meant to be used in a certain way. And so the majority of the clients that come to you now, we've kind of talked about what, you know, the things that they typically look for, how you guys can help. What do you see is next? Do you guys get a lot of, you know, Web3 metaverse type thinking already? Or is it just you guys internally saying, we've got to make sure that we're ready for this for when our customers hear about it as well?
So that's a great question. I think it's a mix, you know, to be honest with you. Some of our larger clients definitely want to be more emerging technology heavy. They want to see how they can beat their competitors at some of the coolest trends and, you know, augmented reality. We were speaking the other day about social media filters and game, you know, story filters and things like that. They definitely want to explore these things, and they're a little bit more adventurous, and they definitely have the budget to do so. Some of the small businesses, I think it's taking a little bit more handholding in a way, not just explaining, you know, what the technology is and what it does, but how can we put it in the practice? You know, how can we actually roll it out for them? I think it's a bit challenging. We are sort of in the middle, you know, we're like the pioneers, you know, getting somewhere, you know, getting to a new island and having to burn the ships and swim ashore, right? That's, you know, also from having an entrepreneurial background, that's a pattern, you know? And sometimes you may be a little too far ahead of the curve, and people are, you know, kind of slow at accepting and adapting to these new technologies. But man, we feel so strong about it, so passionate about it, that it's hard to continue to have the same conversations about the old digital stacks and old digital strategies. It's just hard, you know, it's hard. Yeah. We're very passionate about these new techs and these new ways of doing business. And maybe it's sometimes it may be to our detriment. But it, you know, back in the day when websites first came on the market, everybody's like, you know, why do we need a website? You know, we have a Yellow Pages ad, you know, we don't need a website. How quickly between that conversation till everybody had a website? So I feel that is going to be happening for sure with Web 3.0 and augmented reality, metaverse and such.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we just, in general, we always try to kind of keep up with, especially things like the metaverse. Like, what is that? Just because Meta themselves have pumped so much money into building this and kind of laying that road. Do you think it's going to be, I don't want to say more commonplace, but do you think it's going to get consumer grasp relatively quickly? Or do you think it's going to still be one of those things that big time brands with big budgets can do it, can play in it, but for consumers that every day on a Thursday night interacting with the, you know, the metaverse as we all think it's going to be, how long do you think that gap might be?
Man, I'm thinking in the next 24 to 36 months is going to be fairly mainstream, where a pretty decent size of the population is going to be adopting, you know, the metaverse in its full spectrum. We are on Meta right now. So companies are adopting Meta more as an ecosystem of technologies that are connective, you know, so, you know, blockchain, you know, mobile apps and web apps and experiential and augmented reality all baked into an ecosystem that consumers are interacting with, right? So I would say from a consumer standpoint, it's going to be quicker. From a B2B standpoint, it may be a little bit slower. Also, let's not forget that this latest incident with Meta and the layoffs they've had, I feel like it's actually a small step back so that they can gain momentum for a huge leap forward. And I truly believe that that is the case. So a lot of people are talking about, you know, cryptocurrency and Meta, and, you know, or have they come out, you know, swinging way too quick? I think they're just adjusting, but those technologies are here to stay, and the adoption is going to happen faster than anybody thinks out there. That's why I also kind of feel this pressure and almost stress, you know, about it, because I want my clients to all, you know, take advantage of this new wave, as we call it, the Web 3.0.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're right on. You know, I think within 36 months, it's going to be a pretty different landscape, especially on the consumer side. I think we're going to see a lot more interaction on a day-to-day basis. So kind of going back a little bit from the entrepreneur side, you said that you and your wife started like a month after you were married. What was that like right in the beginning of starting Simple Media, getting it off the ground, micro consulting? What were those kind of conversations like when it was, hey, we're starting a life together, but also we're going to jump, you know, we're going to do business together as well?
You know, God bless my wife. She's got a lot of patience. You know, I wasn't exactly the man that I am today. Not that I feel like I'm still the man that I need to be, but, you know, I was definitely geared a little different. I took a lot of risks and some really stupid risks, just really silly stuff. And she actually came more from a corporate background. So she had a job when I met her, and, you know, I won't say she was totally risk adverse, but the dynamic was definitely very interesting. And I think throughout the years, it's been a really interesting dynamic between the two of us, because she's helped me get more buttoned up and even sound more professional when I speak and write better emails. At the very beginning, I would send her my emails and she would, you know, just take out all the emotional punctuations and things. And I'm Italian, so I tend to be a little, maybe sometimes overly emotional about things, in the good and the bad. And right. So I think it's been a really good dynamic in the sense that she's also picked up some of this quote unquote street smart from me. And, you know, this entrepreneurial spirit. So I feel like 16 years later, we have a very good dynamic, both at work and at home. And that's one of the things, you know, you need to balance working with your spouse, is at some point you got to cut it off. And when you cut it off, you can't pick it back up until the next day. We made it a practice not to talk about money, bills, finances, and business after a certain time at night, and watch a show, be together, and pick it back up the next day, so it doesn't affect our night, you know, and our, you know, our mood.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Did you guys have anything else, or where did you even come up with that one? Or was it one that was just kind of forced, where it's, you know, it's 9 o'clock, we have to do this? Because, I mean, I think that there are quite a few entrepreneurs out there, you know, that a husband and wife teams, or a couple teams that are in business together. And you're right. I mean, even my wife and I now, we aren't in business together, but we both work at home. So you still feel some of those same types of things, not quite the same. You know, you're not going into bills of the company, but you are still together 99% of the day, every single day. So there just have to be certain things where it's like, hey, let's go watch Game of Thrones and put everything else. It can wait till tomorrow. So how did you guys kind of navigate that? Or was it really a forced issue?
You know, a little bit of both, actually. So definitely over the years, I think you get wiser, because, you know, some of the arguments really, they don't lead to anything. And so you come to the realization that sitting down and hashing things out and figuring out ways that we can coexist and work together, you know, we were sort of forced into it. I would also say that reading books together and comparing notes, but also going to therapy, both early on in our marriage, like the whole pre-counseling, pre-marriage counseling, but also throughout the years when we saw that certain things weren't being handled properly by either party, and maybe some of the old arguments would arise, we, you know, made it a point to go to therapy and, you know, kind of reestablish and reset things for us, both personally and in business. And, you know, just really setting those boundaries, man, like sitting down and, you know, they sell so many things on Amazon. Like, they have this little cubby you can buy where everybody puts their phone in the cubby, and that's the place where all the phones go. So at dinner, we don't take our phones and we make it a point to have conversations and, you know, cut it off at a certain time and have a glass of wine and really make it a point to have that glass of wine that then leads to, you know, going to the bedroom and watching a movie or, you know, doing whatever else, you know, married couples 15 years into their marriage do in the bedroom, which is most likely passing out while watching the White Lotus.
Right. Yeah. Season 2, we'll pick it up tomorrow. I'm out. Yeah. No, I think those are fantastic. You know, I mean, it's navigating those ways. I mean, business partners, spouses, you know, especially spouse business partners, those are heavy things. So I'm, you know, that's, I think you guys have it right on. What were some of the biggest things that you guys took away from that entrepreneur side in those first couple of years with Simple? Did you come in to business in general kind of with preconceived things? Oh, this part will be easy. Sales will be, whatever the case might be. And then it's like, oh man, you know, this is something I wish I would have known on day one when we started. It would have just saved us so much time or money or whatever.
Yeah, I would say that we probably were overly confident at the beginning. I think that's probably to our detriment. And me personally is sometimes being overly optimistic, you know, thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to jump off that cliff and, you know, build the proverbial wings down. You know, you don't build a plane and then, you know, measure, you know, 3 or 4 times before you cut type of thing. Yeah. So definitely, you know, some of the struggles and some of the challenges were to, you know, acquire new clients. Like, how do you even do that? So you tap into friends and family and people that you know that are starting businesses. And that's literally how we started. Some of my fraternity brothers back in Miami were starting different businesses. And so I was just building these very basic WordPress websites for them. And that's, you know, even before mobile websites, that didn't come about till about 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
And back then you put a patch and literally designed a separate mobile site and redirected the mobile at the domain level. I'm sure you remember those.
1,000%.
And so, you know, it is quite challenging. I think starting a business, you definitely have to have your sight, you know, way far out, because, you know, there are going to be some really challenging times that, you know, make you just want to quit and give up. And so if you have a deep enough purpose and if you have a partner to share in that success, in this case, my wife, and some of my coworkers, some of our, you know, team members that have been with us for years. And we sort of share this passion for marketing, for communication, for helping clients. And we really go to bat for our clients. I think if you surround yourself with really good people, it makes the journey a lot easier. But know that starting a business is just, you know, not the easiest thing. Actually, it's actually quite difficult. And you've had your share of companies as well. So I think you can vouch for that as well.
You got it. Couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah. And, you know, for me, I mean, it's not doing it by yourself, because I think you just nailed it. It's having those other people that you can share in that journey and that everything that you're trying to build with, as opposed to just doing it yourself, because yourself is hard. There's nobody to bounce ideas off of. There's nobody who has the strengths to your weaknesses and vice versa, you know? But yeah, man, I think that's right on. So before we finish, tell people how they can follow you. Tell people where to go, anything that you guys have coming up. Floor is yours.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. So simplemedia.co is our main website. We just recently rebranded and relaunched it. We repositioned the brand a little bit more from it was before. We really moved away from the whole digital agency and more into digital consultancy. And then Simple Media Co. is our Instagram handle. My personal one is Nicolo Carlo. So it's NicoloCarlo. I've actually put out about 60 videos before the holidays talking about not knowing what you're getting yourself into. I had the bright idea of saying, oh, I'm going to do 60 days. And about 5 to 10 days into it during the holidays, I'm like, what the hell did I just commit to? Because, man, Every day, you nailed it. Including you did it. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve. Got to get out and shoot a video. But no, it was really fun, and yeah. I think it kind of got me back out to, you know, post-pandemic, I think it became a bit challenging to communicate. I don't know if you noticed that, but it's, you know, we didn't speak as much, especially in front of people or on camera. And so I think that this got me back out, and I'm pretty excited about 2023. I'll be putting out a lot more content. And David, maybe we could do some things together again, man. This is really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, for one, loved seeing your daily videos. I was thinking that to myself when I knew that you had a certain number, 20 some odd videos to do, and it was on day five. I was like, man, I need to get my stuff together. Nick's got this going where it's every single day. He is driven. He's showing up. He's doing it. I'm slacking over here. But yeah, I will make sure to link all of that in the show notes so that people can make sure to find you. And Nick, it's been a pleasure, as always. And I love the rebrand that you guys did to simplemedia.co. So definitely will encourage everybody to go check that out. And I just appreciate your time and thank you again.
Thanks, David. Really appreciate you, man.
Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, and I'd love if you left a rating and review. You can find me on all social platforms at Real David Ezell. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter, chock full of all things entrepreneurship and growth, at realdavidezell.com. Until next time.